Because you know our theme for this month is paying it forward. Say that with me. Paying it forward. And the scripture that I've that God's kind of directed me to is from Romans 1 and 14, Amplified Version. It says, I have a duty to perform and a debt to pay, both to Greeks and to the barbarians, the cultured and the uncultured, both to the wise and the foolish. Let me explain this. Paul had used to be really, really, really religious, used to beat Christians and didn't understand the love of God. He thought it was all about him doing the work and him trying to do it in his own strength and about religion. But one day God got his attention and gave Paul an attitude adjustment. Can he get a good amen? And while he was down, falling from his beast, light flashed, he fell from his beast. And then he began to have a conversation with God. And then he began to say, you know, why persecuted thou me? And he said, you know, who are you, Lord? And it was the entry point of his relationship with God. Is go to some saints and they're going to lay hands on you. You're going to be blind for a while. They're going to lay hands on you. And can you imagine the saints that welcomed him and received him? Said, who's coming to dinner? Paul, the one who kills Christians. Why we got to come? Why I got to come here? Somebody got to witness to him. But man, he came, he was ready, and he received from God. And then when he left, he was a different person. He had running in his feet, clapping in his hands. He had a hallelujah in his heart. Why? Because he had received the revelation. That's why it says in Romans 1:15, it says, so for my part, I am ready and eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. In other words, he was saying, I used to be on the wrong path. God has placed me on the right path. I ain't got no time to waste. I got a debt to pay. I feel obligated to tell somebody else. You could be set free. I believe that's the fire God wants us to have down on the inside. Then he opened his mouth. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation. Somebody give him a praise in this house. Thank you. Give him a good praise. He's God. Hallelujah. That's how I feel right now. I used to be super, super messed up. But man, God did something in my life. And it's what he did is place the gospel on the inside of me. And I'm eager to share it. And almost, I feel obligated, duty. It's a wonderful privilege to have. I'm going to ask my wife to come up and help me share this message on today. Put your hands together for my wife, Jesus, as she comes at this time. I said, put your hands together for it real good. Well, I'm excited about this message. You may be seated. Thank you. In the presence of the Lord. And I'm not talking about my presence. I'm talking his presence. Yeah. But when we're thinking about this message of paying it forward, I said, Gita, you know, most people don't even know where we've come from. They see us on Sundays, but they don't know our background, our history. And sometimes when people see you, they misjudge you because they think that you're this or you're that. But we both came from really, really humble beginnings. And I know you all are saying, Pastor, you didn't pray. So thank you very much. So thank you for still playing until I pray. That reminds me. Gita, do you want to pray or do you want me to pray? Okay. Thank you very much. Father, thank you so much for this time we have together. We don't take it for granted nor lightly. You woke us up this morning. It's your breath in our lungs. So we came to pour out our praise. You're a good God. Someone came today and they need a word from you. So speak to us and speak through us. May your will be done. May yokes be broken. May strongholds be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you, God. May your will be done. May healing take place, both mental, physical, and spiritual and emotional healing in the name of Jesus. Your will be done. And Father, for that, we give you the glory and the praise. And it's in Jesus' name that we decree it and we say amen. If you agree with that prayer, give him a praise. He's God. So sometimes people might see you and they not know your background. They may not know why you do what you do. And we both have humble beginnings. I'm from a family of nine siblings, so there's 11 of us. So you know, and my parents came from the South, and came up here to do better. And it's amazing how far God has brought us, because we didn't have very much. In fact, not very much, you know, at all. But every need was provided. We always had plenty of food. And God always put people in our lives to be a blessing, and it's a blessing. So talk to me a little bit about your beginning.
Well, my parents met in a little bitty town called Ellen, Illinois. Anybody ever heard of Ellen, Illinois? Man, I was surprised I saw even two hands. Ellen, Illinois. Yeah, three hands. Mound City, Pulaski, all in that area. And then we moved to Carbondale. My dad many times said, so we can do a little bit better, just like Pastor's dad said. And so we are from a family of 8 siblings and 9 siblings. So that's a lot of chillings, isn't it? A lot of mouths to feed. But my parents did not have Christ in their life when they moved to Carbondale. But just so happened, a little lady, a little missionary called Sally Williams, would walk to church and pass our house every day and see 8 kids running around the house, in and out the house, dirty little motley-faced kids. And she said, them kids need to be at church. Hallelujah. How many of us have seen some kids and say, them kids need to be at church? And she didn't just say it, but she knocked on our door, and my mom gladly, you better believe she gladly said, please take my kids to church. Not too long ago after that, of course, my mom followed suit, and she went to church. And then, long story short, my dad accepted Christ in his life.
And I'm not just saying. In the church, too.
Yeah, and they are diligently in their 80s working still for the Lord. Your parents are, too.
Yeah, they are.
And we're blessed to both of our parents still living, so it's a blessing. That's a blessing. But anyway, talking about paying it forward and where our background is, we are both from families that didn't have a whole lot. Grew up at thrift stores, thrift stores, garage sales.
We had more than they did, I think.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Just because I didn't tell him too much about what we didn't have. Hallelujah. So he thought he had a lot. All right. But anyway, paying it forward, I can remember times, you know, we celebrate Angel Tree for I don't know how many years. I'll try to make this because I can get up here. I can go, too.
I know.
What's going to happen when both of us get to going up here? But anyway, I get excited about Angel Tree time, you all, because I can remember coming from a large family, we didn't have anything. We hardly had anything. But thank God for organizations who looked out through the community, Yvonne, and said, that's a family over there that's in need. They need. And so they began to come to our house and get the names of the children, 4 boys, 4 girls, get our ages and genders, and so they could bless us. Angel Tree time comes, I'm excited. I want me some angels. I want to bless some kids, just like some people came to our house and blessed us. And that's what it's all about, paying it forward. However you were blessed.
I thank God for all those organizations. And I thank
God
for abundance.
Yes, and we're that kind of organization, so give yourselves a hand.
Yeah.
You're paying it forward when you take an angel off a tree, amen?
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Especially in this time of year, because in November and December, many times there's a heightened level of depression and anxiety and even suicide. And we have so many people that are dealing with social isolation. They just want to get by themselves. I don't want to talk to anybody. And that's not God's plan for you to be by yourself. God wants you to be in an environment that you can encourage and build each other. Does that make sense? If you get that whole thing where I just need to be by myself, the devil can mess with your head when you're by yourself. He can talk some noise to you that God is not even saying, put some thoughts in your head. And you say, that ain't my thought. You have to talk back to him and get by somebody that's going to encourage you and build you up and strengthen you. The other thing is that you have to be careful. Yeah, y'all can get in hand. It's one person. Hallelujah. And then also there are those that are grieving loss during these times, loss of loved ones. And that's real. And we don't minimize that. And you need to sometimes get with people that can encourage you during those times, because if you're left to your own devices, oftentimes you'll become depressed. But we want you to know that God wants to use you to encourage somebody as well as you being encouraged. Can it get a good amen in the house? Now, there's a couple of solutions, and my wife and I do one, you know, do some of them. One is that we, you know, begin to get involved. And we begin to help other people, because it's one thing to focus on you and what I'm going through, but it's another thing to see how can I bless somebody else. So you need to look at how God, and we've got several ways. We got our food pantry on Tuesdays. Man, you know, we've got so many people that we reach out and minister to. If you want to be blessed, if you want to see how blessed you are, come on Tuesday nights to our food pantry. It will absolutely bless you. We have, what else? What else do we have going on? Yeah.
I agree.
Or soup kitchens. All those things are good. I didn't get a whole lot of, like, yeah. It was like, y'all talking about work.
We're talking about loving on people.
How are we going to get happy about work? And yeah. I got something to say, but I'd probably be in trouble. Some groups of people, I won't name any groups of people, but when you say volunteerism, they don't do much volunteerism.
Oh.
Well. We're going to pray today. Hallelujah. Yeah. But if you want to be blessed, be a blessing.
I'm telling you.
Somebody give God one praise.
That's a word. You just took that right out of my notes.
Okay.
If you want to be blessed, be a blessing. How many want to be blessed? Yeah. All the hands should be going up. Y'all don't want to be blessed?
Yeah.
Then be a blessing. Be a blessing.
Now, one thing I was going to say, too, just throwing out. If you feel a certain way, and this is a real situation because one of the sons that we've adopted, you know, I remember the day, it was like on Christmas Day, his dad went in his life, but mom was feeling a certain way, and she actually brought him to the police station and left him and his sister on the steps. And of course, the mom was being overwhelmed, but I thank God that the mom didn't kill the children. Now, we're talking real talk. We ain't just going through church playing. No. Sometimes you get overwhelmed. You need to call somebody. If you can't call somebody, call 911. If you can't call 911, show up at the police station and say, hey, I can't handle this no more. Y'all help me out until I can get in my right mind. I'm just letting you know the enemy wants to destroy you, but we've got to help one another. Give God a praise in this house. There's a suicide prevention lifeline called 1-800-273-TALK. Sometimes all you need to do is talk.
That's right.
Anybody in the house today? Amen. Sometimes all you need to do is talk to somebody, and that'll help you through the next day. So let's deal with our first point. Are you okay? You got something to say with that?
Talk and have a listening ear. Some people, you don't have the solution to their problems, but all they need is for someone to just listen to them.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to them. Really pay attention, because we are a busy culture and everybody's got their agenda. I'm so glad God's agenda is us. Aren't you glad God's agenda is us? So therefore, we need to pay it forward and make sure other people are our agenda. Amen?
Yes. So let's go to our first point. You know, when we talk about the goodness of God and why we're thankful, and in this month, my goal is that we are a thankful church. We come in with a heart of thanksgiving, that we bless Him. And here's one reason that we should be thankful, because every good thing in life is a gift from God. And we need to remember that every good thing in life is a gift from God. You know, our breath, I say that again, and our lungs is a gift from God. You know, my good thing, my wife, she is a gift from God. Brothers in the house, man, brother's kind of weak on that. She hasn't been your good thing this week. What? He who finds a wife, there you go. Thank you. I'm so glad we're in a word church and favor with the Lord. So therefore, we need to be thankful for our good thing. Hallelujah. See, another good thing is salvation is a good thing. Paul was so thankful for salvation. And I tell you what, you know, it just blessed me to recognize how much God loved us, that He gave Himself for us. It just really blesses me to say, God, thank you so much for showing us the love. It's important for us all to be thankful. James 1, 16 through 18, and jump in whenever you need to, baby.
Baby's good.
All right. It says, so don't be misled, my brothers and sisters. He goes on and says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift. Help me out. So it just reminds us that the good things that God has made for us, they're a gift from Him, from heaven, from the Father of lights, who gives to us. I mean, He just gives to us supernaturally. I love, like the next verse says, He says, Oh, and that next verse, 28th verse. It says, for in him we live, move, and have our being. Everything is all based upon him putting life in our body so we can live, move, and have our being.
I guess I'll chime in there, because earlier when you were talking about gifts, I was thinking about all the gifts that we have. We have very many gifts in the house. Jessica, gift to dance up here. So many gift, Dee, a gift to just worship. What if we all kept those gifts to ourselves and didn't pay it forward? God is our gift of salvation. And thank God it doesn't stop there. We are other people's gift.
It's true.
As we share the good news. So God has blessed us with many gifts. He's given us the gift of the good news. And he expects us to share that gift with people. A gift of dance, gift of communication, gifts of singing, gifts of all the, on and on and on and on. So do not sit on your gifts.
Now understand this. I appreciate that, because gifts are from God.
Yes.
Actually, before we even come on the scene.
Right.
Gifts are placed in us.
Right.
And then God says, I want to send them forth to establish my will and my purpose on the earth.
Right.
And so there's nothing we did to earn those gifts. If we earned them, then it would be a wage.
Yeah.
But it's called a gift for a reason.
Yeah.
Because you didn't earn it. You didn't do anything. That's why salvation is a gift. Are you with me today? So God has equipped you, placed things in you. It's a gift. Shout it with me. I didn't earn it. But God placed this on the inside of me. Now, one thing we can do is we can allow him to get the glory out of what he put on the inside of us. Come on, bless him real quick. Hallelujah. Can I share this? Is also that God doesn't owe any of us anything. He doesn't owe anybody. God doesn't have to repay anybody. He says, what did you do? And some of us, we have the spirit of entitlement. And sometimes unthankfulness is that, God, you owe me. What does God owe you? Man, I'm just letting you know, some people think God owes me for you because you came to church. I came to church, God, what you going to do? I put a whole dollar in today. What you going to do? But I'm so thankful that I recognize that everything I have is only because he gave it to me. Now, I have one quick testimony, and you can join in because I know you had something to say earlier today because it's in dealing with your sons. And I know how protective you are of your sons, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing. But one of them in particular got on my nerve one time, one real good time. And I was checking him because our goal was to make sure that they were appreciative and thankful for everything they got. And you know, Jerry Doss, the first one, is my dad, and he taught us, you know, that we should be thankful even when he took us to Big Ben's and we got shoes 2 for $5. And you had to find the matches in the thing, and hopefully you had the right size. And other people had Converse, and I wanted some, you know, I wanted the shoe with the star on the side. You know, I didn't want the shoes that slip and slide, you know. But I remember saying, hey, we ain't doing this. We're not getting you all this stuff. We're just not going to do it. You don't need that, you know. And then I remember one of his responses, because he was mad because I wasn't trying to, you know, front for no big dollar tennis shoes. I just wasn't going to do it. And he looked at me and said, I didn't ask to be born. And I wanted to say, do you not remember Marvin Gaye? You didn't ask to be born. I'm thinking to myself, boy, you on the east side. You a black boy on the east side of town. Talking about you didn't ask to be born. And I'm thinking to myself, you better recognize that every day is a gift of God. I'm just saying, I said more than that. I won't tell you the rest of what I said. Because I can get in the flesh too. I'm saved by grace. Hallelujah. I was like saying, you got to be kidding. It's good. Your mom, your dad, you know, you begin to name stuff off. You got food. You got a bed to live in. And you want some $100 shoes? Have you lost your ever-loving Okay. I didn't ask to be born. Moving on.
And if I'm thinking right, that same child not too long ago, he was giving a testimony in church. And
we ain't saying no names.
One thing he mentioned is that the greatest gift that my parents ever gave me was Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And I said, yes, they're getting it. They've got it. That's a blessing. That's a blessing that your children, as you accept Christ and they see it, you pay it forward, they begin to pay it forward.
So, baby, we have to really be careful. And thank you for that. We really have to be careful to train our children as well as ourselves.
Yes.
Be thankful, because this is what the scripture says in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3 and 2. It says, but in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And this causes people not to want to be around church folk, because it's all about you. But I'm learning how to learn how to bless others. God, thank you for blessing me so I can bless someone else. So we've got to be that example to him and them.
Talking about loving others, we were going over this. I came across this saying from Mother Teresa, and she said, "A life not lived for others is not a life."
Wow.
Well, we can take that and chew on it for a while and swallow it, because we live in a culture where it's me, myself, and I, and me and my household, and them. They can take care of themselves. We had a conversation yesterday in regards to helping one of the boys with something. It's not that they needed money, or not that they don't have money, but I said, well, you know, we ought to bless them with such and such. I said, what? Bubby said, what? They don't need money.
They grown.
And I said, honey, wait a minute. It's not about, because we do this with people. We look at them and God will tell us to do something. They don't need that. They got more. But it's not about that. So I said, you know what? We just need to bless them just to be blessing them. That even teaches them a lesson. Don't size people up. Oh, she got a Louis. She got this. She don't need. No, she may not need it. But if God's telling you to bless that person, bless them. We said it earlier in the opening. If we want to be blessed, you have to what? Be a blessing. Don't look at how much somebody has, what they're driving, where they live. But if God puts it on your heart to be a blessing, bless them. Mm-hmm. Even if it's the man or the woman standing on the corner. And you know, we've heard some stories about those people standing on the corners. Some of them think they got more money than you. But if the Holy Spirit says, take out a dollar, roll the window down and bless them, bless them. Amen? Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Pay it forward.
Yeah. That's praise in stereo.
Okay.
Can I share this other passage? When I think about my life and I think about when I was a teenager, some wonder, Pastor, why are you so embracing to teens and young people that move from out of town? Mm. Well, when I was 17, 18, I was going away to school in Indianapolis, and man, it was the church, because I didn't know anything, and didn't have a church connection, didn't know anybody there. And where'd I go? I wanted to go to the church. Why? I wanted to connect with people that could maybe love me and maybe kind of be oversight, because this was something new. Mm-hmm. And everybody wants their child to be connected with someone that's going to help them while they're awake. Am I by myself? Yeah. So while I'm away, this church, and we connect, and man, they welcome me. There's only a few of them there, though. They welcome me and just took me home, fed me. That's why today, when you see me loving on young people, hey, where you from, man? You say, so I'm from wherever. I said, man, I'm glad to have you here. You know, are you connected with anybody? Do you want to go out to dinner? We going to go. Yeah, my wife happens to be cooking. And then I'm saying, are you cooking today? You know, take them home, feed them, make them feel at home. Why? Because that was me. That was me. When my car broke down, it was the church that one of the guys, I tell the story, His name was L.C. Luther Snodgrass. Yes. And Derek is the one that comes here and shares from Indy. But that's how the connection is. Luther Snodgrass was a blind man. And he was. And when I didn't know how to find my car and didn't know my way around Indy, you know, he would take me around. So that was the blind leading the blind. Y'all didn't like that this morning. But he would tell me where to turn. He would tell me where to go and so forth and so on. And he showed me how to change a water pump. He knew it. He used to have his sight, but he lost his sight, but he still could see in his mind where everything was. Yeah. So don't tell me just because somebody don't have their visual sight that they don't know anything. So I'm letting you know that when Derek, his grandson, called me and says, "You don't know me, but my grandfather was connected with you. And he says, I want to find out, you know, what you're doing, and I want to see if you would oversee me. Would you ordain me and lay hands on me and bless me?" I was like, "Man, I can't do it for LC, because he's gone, but I sure will bless you on the behalf of LC. I'm paying it forward. Are you with me today?"
We had some, when I was growing up in church, we had some ladies, and the Bible teaches about the older women teaching the younger women, and I said earlier, it's not about gender. That goes the same way. Older men, take hold. Take someone under your wings and teach them, mentor them. My question is for you all, who are you mentoring?
Good question.
Who are you pouring into? Or are you one of those people that say, "I'm busy, ain't got time for that"? Yes, people have challenges in life. I'm so glad God mentors us and look beyond our faults and our challenges and saw our needs.
Yeah.
And we have to do the same thing with people. Slow your roll, slow down, and to me first, because we get busy. But we need to look out amongst the crowd. It's like in the book of Acts. They got together and they fellowshipped. Mm-hmm. They went from house to break bread together. And then they sat down to find out, what's your need? What are you going through? What's your need? How can we come together? How can we help each other? That's a rare thing you hear now. When I grew up, my house on a Sunday, 8 kids, and you think my mom had enough mouths to feed. But there was always somebody else who visited the church that day at our dinner table. Always. And I wonder, we barely got enough for us. But God seems to make that, like that fish and 5 loaves. Man, you stretch out there to be a blessing to somebody, and God gonna bless your table. He gonna bless your household. He gonna bless your pocketbook. He gonna bless your car to keep running. All the things that you're looking for a blessing for. Stop focusing on that stuff and say, "God, let me be about your business.
Amen.
Let me see who I can bless, Lord." Take care of his business, and he'll what? Take care of yours. Yeah. Hallelujah.
That's good, Jita. That's good. So our next point is that God blesses us and he gives us gifts.
Yes.
But we are challenged. I'm going to say it this way. We have an enemy who is a thief and a bully who wants to steal your stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to steal your lunch. Well, that's not one of the points. But he does want to take your stuff. And he is a bully. Mm-hmm. And when I think about that, I see so many people in life that the enemy wants to steal what God has given them. You know, for example, he wants to steal your, I wrote some down, one of the things he wants to steal, if you're in peace, he wants to steal your peace. Any of you all ever been in a place of peace? And then the devil try to send somebody to get you out of peace? Man, you got to be careful, don't you? Man, and you know it's the enemy, because he came to do what? Steal, kill. He don't want you to have no peace. He going to try to stir up some stuff. And then he also wants to steal your joy. And man, the joy of the Lord is your strength.
It is.
And if he steals your strength, then where's your joy?
Wow.
Thank you, Jesus. That's why I like being around joyful people.
Yes. I was at 9 o'clock service as we were about to start. I'm not sure what part of service we're in, but I went over here on this side of the room and I was talking to one of the older mothers, and she was talking about a car accident she was in and how she's, everything was okay. She told her car, but God bless her with another car. Then she was talking about how she would have been sick. She looked so good on today. She's feeling good, but I remember going to Timberlake praying with her because, you know, just her health was getting her down in her 80s. But she was over there rejoicing, and she said, "Jita, this is happening and this is happening, but guess what? God is still on the throne.
Hallelujah.
But wait a minute, wait a minute. I said confirmation. Then I went on this side of the room and I was talking to somebody who was praising the Lord.
Preach, Jesus.
And then they said, my car done stopped on me. My husband been in the hospital and this and this and that. But God is still on the throne. I said, oh, my God.
Hallelujah.
That's where Satan comes. In the midst of all that, we can sit down and say, woe is me. And Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy regardless of, you know, what's going on in our lives. That's why I say you have to take your mind off your circumstances and focus on the goodness of God and doing good for others. But in the midst of stuff, it's a blessing to see somebody who's going through challenges, going through the challenges of life. You know their situation, and you still see them shouting and praising the Lord and saying, God is good. God is still on the throne. That's paying it forward. That teaches me when I'm going through, God is still on the throne. I'll hold back no part. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah, girl.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. So let's look at this other passage. Since we know the enemy wants to steal, there's a passage in the scripture that actually talks about the enemy coming to steal. And it's kind of the backdrop of what we've been talking about in the book of Luke. And it talks about, you know, how they were, you know, came back giving God praise and glory. And he began to praise them. He says, man, you all are getting it now. A lot of people want to see what you see and can't do it and hear what you hear and they can't hear it. And then a religious person in the audience, he happened to be a lawyer, and he was an expert in the Mosaic law. And he tried to trap Jesus up and he begins to talk a bunch of stuff. And he began to say, you know, Jesus, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus says, well, it's written in the law. He replied, how do you read it? He says, well, the Bible says, and I'm just being religious right now, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, well, you've answered correctly, Jesus says. And he says, do this and you will live. It'll bring life. And he says, but the same person, he justified himself. He says, well, let me ask the question. Well, who is my neighbor, bless God? I've just been told to stop doing that. Who is my neighbor? And Jesus replied in this manner, and I love this. Jesus answers a question with a question. And he begins to give a story. And he says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. And then it says, a priest, and just folks, just so you know, even though I wasn't beaten like that physically, life can beat you down.
Yes.
And when you see people in trouble, you see people going through things, oftentimes you don't know what they're going through. You just know they've been beat down and they look a certain way and they could be in their clothes, have the outfits on, all the name brand, but they still could be almost half dead.
Yeah.
Are you with me today?
Yes.
This man was left for dead and he was almost half dead, the Bible says. And then the church came, the priest, the preacher, happened to be going down the same road, the Bible says, and he saw the man. He passed by, in other words, a man down on the ground, beaten down, took his money and everything, and instead of him saying, well, at least, you know, what, hey, what's up? You all right? You still living? Can I throw you, you know, something? Dude said, oh, man, uh-uh, we ain't dealing with this. You know, priests don't deal with dead bodies. They can't touch dead bodies or they declare themselves unclean. And I want you to know that we cannot come to the place where we're so holy that we see somebody laying on the side of the street and pass them by. Are you with me today?
Amen.
And then there was a Levi.
Yeah, I said earlier, now here's a good point. You might want to remember this. We all have an obligation to strangers. I didn't say that here. I know I said it earlier, but we all have an obligation to strangers.
I gotta chime in.
Yeah.
You taught one of our sons. I won't say his name. You taught him to be too smart for strangers, and don't say nothing to strangers. Don't look at strangers. So when you kids, you don't say nothing.
That was for kids. You all understand that, right?
So I just want to make sure we draw that.
For children. They have to be too smart for strangers. But then, as far as adults, there's a way that parents can guide and teach your children how to approach people or how to be approached by people that you don't know. But when we, as Christians, Spirit-led, Holy Ghost-filled, being led by the Holy Spirit, in regards to someone we don't know and there's a need that needs to be met, we go for it. Because greater is he that is within us than he that was in the world. Now, we know we live in a crazy world. So we better be in tune with the Holy Spirit to say, Lord, should I go over here? Should I do this for this person? Should I do this? So be led by the Holy Spirit, because everybody needs God. Everybody needs to see somebody doing a good deed. And you don't even know me and you want to do this for me? That speaks Jesus right there. That speaks Jesus right there. You don't know me, but you want to take care of me. You want to feed me. You want to bring me into your house. You want to put me in your car?
The other day I was leaving church, and there was a guy sitting on the curb on Dirksen Parkway. I could tell he had some issues. He had been homeless, and you know, they wear a lot of clothes and stuff like that. And the Holy Spirit said, "You want you go back there and go to the restaurant and get him some food." Well, I went to the restaurant. You know, I was busy and stuff, but you know, when the Holy Spirit talks to you, you need to move. And I went, got the food, took it to him, and just rolled my window down. And man, it seemed like he was almost take my arm off with all the food with it. I'm thinking like, man, Lord, thank you for allowing us to be a blessing, because that could be me, but for the grace of God. I could be on the street corner. I could be homeless. I could be mentally incompetent. Can I let you know that we can't look down on anybody, but we've got to recognize, if it wasn't for the grace of God, where would I be? Somebody in the house today? So this passage says that, you know, you got to love your neighbor as yourself. If that were me, I'd want somebody to feed me.
Yeah, we know we love ourselves, don't we? We'll take care of self. So the Bible's saying likewise, just like you would take care of yourself, take care of somebody else. That's saying a lot.
And then the 32nd verse says, so to a Levi, when he came to the same place and saw him. So this dude had been laying for a while. The priest saw him, walked by. The Levi saw him, walked by, and passed on the other side. I just don't want this to be our church. You know, I don't want our church to be uppity and arrogant and pious, looking down our noses at anybody. No, we want to bless people. That's why I believe we have the Haven House. I believe that's why we have the food pantry. I believe that's why we have the Haven Apartments. That's why we have our men's house that we have for men getting out of prison. God wants us to be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Hallelujah. And it's okay. You know, I said, I love to be in a church, to be a part of a church where somebody comes to me, D, say, Sister G, I'm not at church today, but I'm at the jails. I'm not at church today because the neighbor who I've been witnessing to or looking for an opportunity to witness to, he asked me if I would come to him to his child's game today.
Mm-hmm.
That was an open door for ministry. So I'm ministering. Look for ways to be a blessing to people, to draw them into Jesus. Little things like that. Ministry is just not in here, folks.
Amen.
It's out there. I said it earlier. Mission field's out there. So I want us to be a group of people that look to see how we can meet the needs of others. There are many times I get up in the morning, Pastor, and I'm going
to
let you have it again. I get up in the morning.
I'm used
and
to
we
this.
Have our agendas. We have our agendas. And I have to stop and say, God, okay, I know I have my agendas, but what do you want me to do today? Whose life do you want me to touch today? How can I be a blessing to somebody today? You said give so-and-so $20, it's done. You say bake somebody something, it's done. Make somebody some soup, okay, God, it's done. What is it going to hurt us to do good? Because we sure want somebody to do good to us, don't we? Hallelujah, hallelujah. So pay it forward. Pay it forward. I can't say enough. Say it.
Pay it forward.
But
hallelujah.
A Samaritan, as he traveled, and this blows me, where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. In other words, he had compassion upon him.
Yes.
And I say this because He probably, you know, being a Samaritan, Samaritan was a cross between a race of people, between Jews and Assyrians. And when the two got together, they weren't enough Jew to be in the Jewish group, and there wasn't Assyrian enough to be in the Assyrian group. So they were kind of in the middle, and yeah. I don't want you over here. And see, I've been in that place before. You've been ostracized, put on the outside, and don't want to be, you know, associated with. And when you've been like that, you know, you can relate to people that are in trouble or that are sitting by themselves or that are in a situation that nobody else understands. That's why we have been called to reach those individuals that have been outcast. Can I preach today? Some of us understand being in trouble emotionally because we've had some emotional issues before. You may not look like it right now. Everybody in here hasn't always been in your right mind. It's glory. I better move on. Some people can relate to people that have been molested because they had a situation or episode when they was a girl and what had nothing to do with them and they didn't do it, but they're in a situation when someone else says, well, I see someone else, let me bring you up, girl. You about to die, but let me let you know what happened to me. Let me lift you up. Somebody give God praise in this house. Went to him, bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and he put the man on his own donkey that would be in his car, in his new car. Brought him to the inn and took care of him. And look at this. On the next day, so he hung out with him all night. He made sure that he was okay. And on the next day, he came back. Hey, how's dude doing? And he gave the innkeeper, because the man's money had been stolen, gave him 2 denarii. A denarii is actually like a day's work. 1 denarii is 1. So that's 2 days' work. I'm going to pay for this guy. And some of us won't give a person an hour. He gave it to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. I will return and I'll reimburse you any extra that you may have incurred. And then Jesus asked this lawyer, he says, which one of the three do you think was a neighbor to the man that fell among robbers? Can I challenge you today? Have we been a neighbor to those that have fallen among thieves? The thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that you might have life, that you might live it more abundantly. Somebody give God praise.